Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Mindful Living in the Adirondack Alps with Kathy Hohmeyer, and welcome back to our show. And, of course, I'm coming from the Lake Clear Lodge and Retreat in the middle of the Adirondack Mountains, which we call the Healing Woods. We love to do healthy getaways or retreats, so I hope you join us anytime in the Adirondacks. Our website, if you want to check it out, is www.lodgeonlakeclear.com. And today I am really excited to have with me two gentlemen who are carrying on their dad's work on holographic blood. I saw this while I was developing my nutritional energetics program, and nourishing in the nine dimensions is what I call it, because the first dimension to me is the blood, which is very, very grounding and resonates with the earth. And I started, I saw Dr. Riegelson's interview on Gaia TV and got really interested and got the book and read it over and over, and it's one of those books that just kept unfolding for me until a few weeks ago I emailed Adam and Josh, and I said, oh, my God, I get it. So I want them to let you know what they do for the most part. So Adam and Josh, hello there.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you doing today?
I am great and so excited to tell people about what you do. Now, the title of the book is Holographic Blood, so I'm just going to let you guys go ahead. I'm sure you can, you know, describe this in your sleep. Let us know what you do and why it's so important.
Okay. Good question. Well, there's several different philosophies that talk about holograms in the blood. And it's interesting as our father, we'll tell you a little bit of background on Dad first. Our father was a trauma surgeon in Vietnam. He was an eye surgeon. He was born to a nice Jewish family in Brooklyn, New York, and by the age of seven he was told he was going to be a doctor or a lawyer. That was the choices he had. So he decided to be a doctor, and he said to his mother, he says, I'm going to cure cancer. And she says, you can't do that. And he says, why not? Doctors do those things. So 7 years old, he's already out to prove that he can cure cancer. As he gets into school, things happen with Dad that are pretty funny. He ends up tying for first in his class in high school. In college, he actually got accepted to medical school after 3 years of college. I don't know if anyone else has ever done that before. Medical
wow.
school happens, and it's funny. Josh, tell me about the first couple of days of medical school with Dad.
Actually, the first 3 hours of medical school, they write names on the board like chiropractics and homeopathy and acupuncture and proceed to laugh at it and basically call it all quackery and garbage. So the first 2 or 3 hours of medical school, they're being taught that they know everything there is to know and nobody else has anything to offer.
Yeah.
Wow.
So at this point, he's questioning things already, and as he asks questions, they tell him, just read the book. The first year of medical school, they tell him what a normal body is like. Then the second year, they get into a diseased body, but they never explain how a normal body becomes a diseased body. So once again, he's asking questions, and they're just saying, just read the book. So he questions all these things. He gets his license. He becomes an eye surgeon. Vietnam happens, so he actually gets drafted. And then he goes off to Vietnam and starts to see some of the lies that go on in Vietnam and starts to question the government. So now he's questioning medical establishment, he's questioning government. This man has a lot of questions, basically. So he comes back to the United States, he gets back into eye surgery, and at some point our mother gets to a psychic, and the psychic says, I need to meet your husband. So this psychics are very interesting. There's some really wonderful psychics out there and some really interesting psychics out there. This psychic, not that you'll find it listed anywhere, but he was psychic to four presidents. He was actually at Camp David with Jimmy Carter. So this psychic says to Dad, talks to him about Edgar Cayce's work. And Dad finds a whole new way. Now, as this is going on also, Dad has a person come to him for an eye consult. And Josh, tell me about the eye consult.
The guy comes in for an eye consult, and Dad is taught, he's an eye surgeon, so that's what he's taught. He's taught the way to fix things is through surgery. So he recommends surgery, and the guy says, well, I'm going to go explore some alternative methods. And finds a homeopath who does what's called a retrobulbar injection, so actually injects behind the man's eyeball and fixes his eye condition. So my dad went to learn from this homeopath. He says, I want to know what you do. So a little while later, a guy comes in with the same condition, and Dad does this retrobulbar injection and fixes the guy's eye. The guy had come from six different doctors who couldn't fix him, so at that point, the guy was so excited, he went to all six of his old doctors and said, look what this guy did, he fixed my eye. And all six of those doctors reported my father to the medical board. So at this point, you know, questions are starting to pop up again.
Yeah, Dad's in a system at this point, and he's not really happy. He wants to help people. He's having things go on as he's doing eye surgery where people can't afford his help, and he doesn't like that. He really wants to help people. So with the psychic involved, he finds the ARE clinic in Arizona, and he ends up going to the ARE clinic. Dad moves the whole family out to Arizona, takes a 70% cut in pay. At this point also, he's a rich eye surgeon. We have the Porsche, we have the Jaguar. We did not have paintings on our walls. We had art painted on the walls at our house. So he had arrived, he was successful, and was totally unhappy. So we go out to Arizona at the ARE clinic, and it's literally like the Wild West out there. This is late 70s. Homeopathy it's around, and basically anyone can hang a shingle out on their office and say they're a homeopath. So Dad learns to the point where he starts to realize there's uncharted territory here. And he gets together with some of the other homeopaths, and they raise their prices by $5.
Medical
doctors, yes. They raise their prices by $5, and they hire a lobbyist. And what ends up happening is Arizona becomes the first state that has a law called the Arizona Homeopathic Medical Practice Act. That state separates the AMA from the HMA, which is the Homeopathic Medical Association. So our father co-authored that law. He wrote that law.
And in the law, there was this word that kept popping up, and the medical board didn't know what the word meant. So they asked him, you keep using this word, what does holistic mean? So he actually had to define the word holistic for the Arizona medical books.
And then what he did was interesting. As he wrote the Medical Practice Act, he made sure that homeopaths had some medical background. So he legitimized homeopathy. You know, you need to know anatomy to be able to do this type of work. So not just anyone can say they're a homeopath. So he does this, and, the AMA is not real thrilled because basically he just took all their power away. At this point, too, he ends up giving out the first homeopathic licenses in the United States. And he's doing good. He's getting results, things like that. This is when the fun starts to happen. He gets brought up on charges of illegible handwriting as a doctor. As a child, when I was in elementary school, my teachers would say to me, you have such horrible handwriting. And I would say, oh, my dad's a doctor. The judge thought it was a joke type thing.
And you got brought up on charges of curing somebody illegally. And they said in the minutes that they didn't care that he had fixed the person. They only cared that he did not do it their way scientifically.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's having a lot of fun now. In the midst of all this, he actually gets to go on a trip. There's a guy named Burton Goldberg who comes into the picture and takes him and some other physicians to other parts of the world to experience what's going out in the rest of the world, what's going on out there as far as alternative medicine is concerned. So Dad ends up in Canada. There's a physicist there named Gaston Naissance. And Gaston Naissance has a microscope, and under that microscope he has some live blood. And Dad looks in that microscope and gets chills. There's things moving around in there. There's things he's never, ever seen. Western medicine takes a drop of blood and then stains it, fixes it for immortality. So he's hooked. He has to find out more about this. So he heads back to Arizona, and he finds a physician on a Indian reservation. And the pivotal point here actually comes up when I'm about to go to college. I'm a week away from college, and I get mono. I get mono so bad I'm showing minor signs of hepatitis. My white cell count is off the charts. I can't breathe. I just want someone to cut a hole in my throat so I can breathe. And Dad brings in this doctor, Dr. Friedrich Ploeg, and he does things Dad has never seen before. He has a microscope. He takes some of my blood. He mixes it with some remedies in this big syringe. He shoots it with a laser. He puts it in my hand and tells me to think happy thoughts. Dad's a scientist and a doctor. He's never really seen this yet. So then they inject back into my tonsils the remedy and the rest into my butt. And he says to my dad, your son will be fine. He can go off to college. And the interesting thing is, as I'm going through this, Dr. Pogue actually flew in the Luftwaffe. So I have my mouth open with this big needle about 3 inches long with the Jewish doctor on one side and the ex-Nazi on the other side. Very surreal experience, to say the least. But next day, my tonsils, the swelling went way down. My white count went down amazing. 4 days later, I went off to college. I was fine. So Dad says to this German doctor, you need to come work in my office. So Dr. Plo comes in, and then all of a sudden, Ryan O'Neill and Farrah Fawcett are coming into our office. This doctor, it turns out that there are celebrities that follow him around. He does a lot of anti-aging and rejuvenation, and he'll make them look very pretty when it's time for the award shows to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So Dad's trying to learn from Dr. Plogue. Dr. Plogue's he's kind of secretive and kind of keeps to himself, and Dad doesn't get to learn very much. The Berlin Wall comes down, so Dr. Plogue goes back to Germany to find his family. And all of a sudden, another German doctor happens to come into the picture. We don't believe in coincidences anymore.
Yeah.
But Silke Friedrich comes into the picture. She does the microscope work as well. She would do things with Dad which were funny, where she would have the microscope there. The client would be sitting between my dad and Silke. Dad would ask the client a question, and Silke would kind of shake her head, like, no, no, no. Dad would ask another question, and Silke would shake her head again. And she'd ask a question, and then she'd pull her ear or something, like, yeah, that's the one. So Dad's trying to figure out what she's doing. And at one point she says to one of the clients, did you break your arm at one point? And he says, yeah. And it's not in a chart or anything like that. So Dad says, you know, to the patient, I need to talk to the physician for a second. He says to Silke, how do you know that? And she says, look in the microscope. And Dad looks in the microscope, and there's an image there that looks exactly like a broken bone. So he's having a hard time believing this. This goes on for about a year, where she looks in the microscope and pulls out things that he doesn't believe what's going on. After about a year, he finally starts believing what's going on. So now he's hooked. He's got this microscope. He's thrilled. Silke ends up leaving the picture, and more fun starts to happen. Random Medicare audit comes in. Medicare actually came and solicited our father and said, you should provide Medicare. Dad says, we don't know how to code what we do, and they tell him how to code it. And eventually there's a random Medicare audit where he's brought up on charges because of his coding, which is what they told him to do. The random audit, they picked around 30 cases that had to do with chelation therapy, which were the only cases of chelation therapy he ever had in his office at that time. So out of his hundreds, maybe thousands of cases, they picked just those and randomly did the same to several other physicians in the area, only the chelation patients.
Mm-hmm.
He had had a guy doing chelation therapy in his office for about 3 months at the most. Each one of those cases, what did they do charges on him, Josh? What was the cost?
It came out to around 177, 178 charges of Medicare fraud, totaling $1,700 in fraud. They called it a felony, and they took away. He had to give up his license at that point in time. At that point, it was the lowest Medicare felony conviction fraud rate in history. At the same point, there was Senator Bill Frist, who had $900 million Medicare misdemeanor fraud. So, right off the bat, there goes his license at that point in time, and then another chain of events happens.
Well, and this is a lot of taxpayer money spent, you know, to go after $1,700 worth of nothing. And with Dad's different cases, yeah, there were interesting things. In the long run, for him to give up his medical license was a good thing because now he's not under the jurisdiction of the medical board anymore. So he also decides that he's done with the United States. We're going to Mexico. So we go to Mexico, Tijuana. We're living in San Diego. There's a clinic across the border. Dad's doing cancer work with stem cells and things like that. He's getting 50% turnaround in stage 4 cancers alone, doing great work. Mexico at that
I'm sitting here, Adam and Josh, I'm sitting here listening to you, and all I can do is just keep shaking my head. So, yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, his background is important. You know, this is not stuff that just came from nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the science background, the medical background, the fact that he's been all through all this stuff that we've heard about, things going on like this, but he's living proof. You know, we do have a book called Medical Conspiracy in America. We don't promote it too much these days anymore, but we have documented proof of conspiracy against our father. With one of the cases at one point, Andrew Weil was brought in as a witness against him, and they gave him behind closed doors transcripts of what was going on against our father. He got on the stand and he said, you need to drop this case or I'm taking these transcripts to Time Magazine. And they dropped the case. So our dad, yeah, and it gets even more interesting. The last little bit of background. We go to Mexico. Mexico is really cool. Dad says, I'll never work in the United States again. Mexico is interesting at that point in time also, so we end up leaving Mexico. We find a clinic in Lake Tahoe, and it's funny because at this point, some of our remedies are legal in California, some of the treatments in Nevada. We actually found a office on the state line where the state line ran right through our building. So you could walk to one side of the office and get treatment and then walk to the other side of the office to get your medicine, therapies, whatever. Not sure there are very many offices like that in this world. We found one. So Dad does that for a while, and then the snow in Tahoe gets to him, so they head to Grass Valley area, California, Nevada City. Had a clinic open there for a long time. At some point, Dad ends up on the George Norrie shows and says something about dentists that a local dentist, doesn't like. And all Dad said was that dentists do not understand how much they affect the rest of the body.
Mm-hmm.
All the acupuncture meridians run through the teeth. There's been some interesting studies done. So local dentist decides he doesn't like Dad, starts turning him in and reporting him. He's never seen us as a patient. We've never had one client complaint in over 40 years. But Biggleson is a little bit of a red flag as far as the medical board is concerned. So they come in, and uniformed people come into the office during office hours and proceed to take our microscopes, bring Dad and Josh up on charges of practicing medicine without a license. They ran us through the ringer as far as the court was concerned. Basically ran Dad through the ringer for over a year until he had no money, lost his house. We had one of Michael Jackson's lawyers came to help us out on that whole thing. The whole town was so upset. The ex-mayor was involved. The medical board supposedly had nothing to do with it. However, when we picked up our microscopes in the end, we picked them up from the medical board. And when we had to write the check for the $6,000 fine at the very end, we wrote that check out to the medical board.
Mm-hmm.
So these things happen for a reason. When we had the clinic open, we were working with some very tough cases. Josh would say we get the train wrecks. And one of the last people that came into our office was actually hit by a train.
No.
How do you fix a body that's that broken? You know, the reality is Dad and Josh are tired, and they don't want to keep doing this. You know, Dad talks about being the rat in the wheel. The law of attraction we're into more these days. You be careful what you ask for. You know, you put out there what you want, not what you don't want. Josh and Dad didn't want to do that. The clinic got shut down. They don't have to do that anymore. But at this point, it's kind of like, you know, when you squash something and it explodes. You know, Josh and I, basically, we took the microscope on tour. We'll go everywhere and anywhere. We've been to England a few times now. We've got great stuff in different places in Mexico, which are great. We've got different places in the United States that have been great. The Seattle area has been wonderful, which is nice. In the end, the thing that happened with California was Dad has earned an MD title.
Well, what it came down to is they had 14 bogus counts against us, and during his original Medicare trial, the prosecutor kept calling him Mr. Biggleson, and the federal judge kept saying, no, 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 he's a doctor, that's his education, you call him Dr. Biggleson. So he called himself Dr. Biggleson. When you came to our clinic, you signed a consent form that said seven different ways that he was not licensed. Every single room in our office had something that said he was not licensed. So that was not legal in the state of California. So out of all those charges, they were all dropped except for one for false advertising because he called himself doctor.
Yeah. Every other state, we're fine. So basically, Dad's quiet in California, and we're going to be getting him out of California.
Mm-hmm.
A very pretty state.
You guys have not had a boring life.
No.
By any means.
Definitely been interesting. So at this point then, Dad's, you know, he's quieted down in he's in Auburn. When the clinic got shut down, Josh kind of withdrew for a while. I'm actually a music teacher as my day job, so I kind of kicked things into high gear with the family business and put curriculum together to teach the work so we can spread this work. We've taught quite a few courses out of Chicago, which is nice. We taught one in San Francisco. We have our microscopes set up with Skype, which is really neat. We've got a couple students in England, and we have people that have tried to get to us from all over the world. What we can do at this point is we have a private association. We send out slide kits. You stick your finger, put a drop of blood on the slide. You can get it back to us within 36 hours. We'll look at it, take some pictures, get you on the phone and talk to you about what we see. And we educate. So we have people that want to get to us from all over the world. We have students in England. So we have clients that want to get to us from England. We send them to our student. They put the blood under the microscope. We can pull it up on Skype. So instead of seeing their face, we're seeing what's on the microscope. So we actually do consults for people all over the world, which is really nice. We set up the training courses. We're doing the training. Josh and I now, as we're lecturing, we basically put out an email that said, do you have an area where you think we might resonate? So we came up to Seattle to do a lecture. And in the past 6 months, I think we've done six lectures. We keep coming back. Josh's house is in escrow right now in California. We rented a house outside of Redmond. We've got a few wonderful practitioners that we're working with. Seattle's really interesting because Bastyr is here, the big naturopathic school. So I think 70% of the nation's naturopaths are in this area. So there's a good community here that's knowledgeable. The general public here, being surrounded by so many naturopaths, is really knowledgeable also. So as we lecture, it's like preaching to the choir for us. The nice thing, though, about what we do is we connect the dots. We talk about all these different things, and now everything works together. So, you know, people see the acupuncturist, which is great. Well, there's some structural things that go on with the body. So acupuncturists may be able to only get so far with certain things. At the same time, the osteopath may be only able to get so far. So we're really trying to promote symbiotic relationship with all these different practitioners. What we've really done is we've got this microscope, which is a tool for us to see into the body and how the body really works. So Dad's been doing this for almost 40 years. We have over 40,000 images in our database of blood. We have really seen patterns over time to understand a lot about the body. And Dad's conclusion is, health is simple, people are complicated.
That's true. Now, we have just a little over 5 minutes left, and this obviously is going to go into a part two. This is fascinating. I want to say the one thing that struck me was, when I finally got it, was that you see holograms in the blood that are actually, correct me if I'm wrong, larger than the capillaries that they probably end up going through. So it really has to be an energetic hologram, correct?
Yes, that's what happens. It's pretty much all Eastern philosophy will talk about a hologram. So they'll talk about them in the eye, the ear, the tongue, and the foot. And yes, there's one in the blood as well.
Right.
So it's an energy representation of the disturbance field. So the energy bounces off the block, and then we get an imprint of what that block actually is. So the blood will show us what the body is actually concerned about, whether it's a broken bone or a tooth or an emotions. Emotions show up in the blood in several different ways as well. So it's nice because it kind of takes our brain out of the equation, and as long as we know our anatomy, the blood just directs you where the actual issues are. We're not interested with the leaves on the tree. Too many people out there giving you something for this leaf or something for that leaf. We're concerned about why the roots are unhealthy. And there's always one cause, one trigger. And, yeah, it could be a birth trauma, it could be an accident, it could be an emotional trauma, it could be a surgery, and that's what you have to figure out, and that's where the blood comes in.
And we're all about Bechamp. Antoine Bechamp was Pasteur's rival. He said, it's not the germ, it's the terrain. So our body is our terrain. If the body is out of balance, then bad things can grow. If we're 70% water and you think about your fish tank, if your fish tank pH is off, bad stuff grows. So our goal is to balance the body. We look at the blood, we see what's out of balance, we address it, and we see change in the blood immediately, which is nice. So we know if we're getting to the root or not. And then the funny thing is symptoms just happen to magically go away.
And what's nice about the blood is you'll see these little dots bouncing around in there. They've been called microzymas, somatids, syncretites. Plato had names for them. Royal Rife had names for them. And what's neat about these is they exist in all living things. So it's like our life force, our chi, our prana, the force. And they exist in animals, they exist in humans, they exist in plants and minerals. And they're found that they never, ever die. So as we actually die, they help us decompose. They go back into the earth and regenerate new life. And what's brilliant is Gaston Naissans figured out a way to isolate them. And he injected them into a rat muscle. And 30 years later, that rat muscle is still alive.
Yep, alive in a jar. Dr. Frankenstein is alive and well. So it's really neat work. This is one thing, too, that really separates us from the live cell analysis world. Similar images, live cell analysis, it looks at the holograms totally differently and says that the microzymas that we see as one of the most important things there is, period, are fat particles. So there's a little bit of a difference there. We really love what we do, and as we do what we do, we would love to find someone to help us isolate one of these as well. We talked about those holograms, and you said, yeah, they physically cannot be coming out of your capillary. You would have a stroke. So this is energy representing. And people have asked us the question of, you know, we can see it there, and it seems like the cells are kind of going around it. Is it physically manifesting in the blood? Well, we're not sure. It's microscopic. I'd like to somehow get a pin in there and be able to poke it. We're looking for some scientists to start working with on some of this.
Well, one of the most important theories, just to kind of wrap it up into a little ball here at the end, is those little microzymas we talk about. There's a theory called pleomorphism, which has been around for a long time. And what happens is when our body or our soil is the dysbiosis, our terrain actually will start to get lousy. So it's like all of a sudden the soil in the garden becomes lousy. So if you have lousy soil, then garbage grows. If a healthy soil, then good things grow. So what happens is these microzymas, when the soil becomes lousy, will actually morph into bacteria. And then when we get chronic, they morph into fungus. So we're not being invaded by bad germs. We're actually creating these germs in our own body, in our own soil. Mm-hmm. So to create good health, you create a good soil. Those actually fungus will morph back into a bacteria and then morph back into a healthy little microzyma.
You get it.
Mm-hmm. It's all about symbiosis.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think that's amazing that a lot of people don't understand about the microbiome is the way that those things morph back and forth. And I want to make sure, I'm going to let you guys talk right to the end, but I want to make sure that, because this is definitely going to be a doubleheader,
yeah.
us know how to get the book, how people can get background so that they can learn more, and when we come back, they'll have even more info.
And we've got a website you can go to. It's thebigelsonmethod.com. Bigelson is B-I-G-E-L-S-E-N. And when you go there, there's some information there. There's a free ebook that you can download. You can also click to join our private association. There's only so much information we do share with the public these days. On that webpage also, you can get to the bookstore where Dad's books are available. The book is The Holographic Blood. Dad has several books, but The Holographic Blood is the one that really explains what he does, where it comes from, and why it works. His other books are great. He has Doctors Are More Harmful Than Germs. That's a great book. Made us a lot of friends with the medical industry. And the medical conspiracy book, I think, is still up there as well. But if people really want to understand what we're about and really learn about how their body works, the Holographic Blood book is the one. And what we're really here to do at this point is educate and empower people. As we do our two-hour lectures, you will never think the same again. And there are things that people have thought that we validate. You know yourself better than anybody. But we lie to ourselves all the time. I'm fine. Everything is fine. So many times we look at someone's blood, and as we pull an image up on the screen, the person knows what it is before we do, because they really know themselves, and we're validating some of those things. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun. Educating and empowering, we think, is a big thing these days. We just really want to save the world.
Yeah, no, this is totally fascinating. We're running out of time today, and I absolutely want to have you guys back, and I want to encourage people to look at the book, look at the information, because it's super fascinating, and we're definitely going to continue this so that we can learn, more about the specifics, and especially what you said about the terrain and the morphing. I think that is something that we're not giving the information on, and is really important. So, I thank you guys for coming on, and we will chat again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Kathy, very much.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We will talk later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.